Now, most of you are in my age group, and I think I loved the 50s and the 60s type of rock and roll. I didn't really care too much for the modern rock and roll, especially the head-banging rock and roll and all that. But there was a lot of wonderful things going on in the 50s, which is, seemed to be a time of peace and so forth, right after World War II. The music and everything was kind of cool. You could understand the lyrics and all of that kind of stuff. And you know, I like the buts and the ifs. The Beatles, they burst into fame in the early 60s. Now, artists all over the world were kind of envious of them because they had taken American music by storm. Superstars like Frank Sinatra and Elvis, they all felt dethroned and sidelined. And mass crowds of overflowing concert halls began to be packed with people just wanting to catch a distant view of these shaggy-looking young men from Liverpool, England. Families even stayed home on Sunday night from church in order to watch the Ed Sullivan Show when they were on television. But no one knew that the Beatles themselves were reeling from their success. John Lennon said this. He said, "It's like we're four freaks being wheeled out to be seen, shake our hair about, and get back in our cage afterwards." That was a comment quoted by John Lennon, who would later get shot to death outside his New York City apartment. George Harrison, who later died of cancer, became so discouraged that he was going to quit the band. He said, "There is no satisfaction in it." He said, "We're worse as musicians, playing the same old junk every day, every day." I think maybe that could be a metaphor of life. You know, we're going out day by day, same old junk every day. But those that we envy sometimes, decreasing from joy and then being envied. It's amazing how life is. So when there's nothing more than noise or notoriety, life becomes very thin. Even those who rise to the heights find heaven are full of darkness. Another tragedy superstar of that era, a wonderful young lady, beautiful lady, Marilyn Monroe. And she said this, "Fame doesn't fulfill you, it warms you a bit, but that warmth is only temporary." In this series that we've been doing, Jesus as Friend, I've been telling you about a friend who is unchanging, who is majestic, who is marvelous, who is trustworthy, dependable, holy, triumphant. And he fills our need with purpose and significant assurance and courage. And he warms us with a love that never ceases, not even for a moment. Are there discouraging things happening in the world? Yeah, with 24/7 news and modern television where you can watch wars live and in person and in color and all that. Yeah, it's crazy things happening in our world. But it doesn't mean that I'm discouraged, and I hope and pray you're not discouraged, because there are discouraging people in places of authority, and there's always discouraging people there. Yes, even discouraging people happen sometimes within the church. But again, I am not discouraged. I often remind myself that discouragement is not welcome in my life. That little prefix of dis, I would think about the isms in the world. You know, the isms you talk about, like alcoholism or this ism, communism is a doctrine or something to add to the world. Well, the same thing happened with the little dis, means without dis. You and I are not without courage. We have courage to face what's ahead because of the hope that we have in our friend Jesus Christ. So I want to look a little bit more with some of the verses in the Revelation. In chapter 7, verse 17, it says this, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Tears. You ever notice they're salty? The cleansiness of salt, that's because of the pressure of life and so forth. And I always think about the water heater. It's got that little valve on top of the water heater. And when the water heater goes awry or something happens to it, it starts building up pressure and so forth. That little valve just it releases the pressure. Same with our tear ducts. Has anybody ever wiped a tear away from your cheek? That's a very intimate thing. When somebody touches your face, even more so your eyes, it's not an action of a stranger. It's usually not a common acquaintance or casual, or somebody just passing. No, it's somebody that loves you. In Revelation chapter 7, Jesus tells us that he will do that. The promise is repeated. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the older order of things have passed away. So what's the cause of tears today? Is it pain and suffering? Is it disappointment? Is it sometimes we just feel like crying? I know I do sometimes. But then we remember the passage that we talked about from Revelation chapter 5 at one time. The Apostle John was caught up to heaven where he saw all the angels of God standing around a strange scroll. But he wept because there was no one worthy to open this document, which would trigger the events leading to the consummation of God's plan for history of the world. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 5, verses 5, I wept and wept because no one was found, John said, no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look inside. And then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he triumphant, he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. I want to give us a little perspective about that because I think when we see the glory of the Lord, when we see our friend Jesus and all of his majesty and splendor of his kingdom that we're blessed to live in, encircled by the innumerable company of angels, and when the authority of his voice will bring the dead to life again through the resurrection, we will see him as judge of all. I believe we will weep. And we are so reluctant sometimes to cooperate with him. But I think we'll look back and see those places in our lives where we were stubbornly dug in our heels and refused his invitation. We didn't want to take up our cross. We didn't want to follow him. We didn't want to represent him in our world. We weren't interested. We were ashamed of him even at times. I know I was. And I think that the Lord forgiving us will just do what he said. He'll wipe away every tear. You see, we only make one journey through time. We only got one chance to go through this. And I've told you before, I cannot find an expiration date anywhere on my body. I know there's things in the refrigerator that's got expiration dates on them, and when we find them, we want to throw them away. Well, not the case with life. We got one shot. We only make this journey one time. And we only get an opportunity to honor the Lord. So is the spirit of Antichrist moving in the world? And you bet it is. But on the other hand, the Spirit of God is also moving in the earth under the direction of the soon-coming Lamb of God, shaking the world. There's more happening than we know. So let us move forward with Christ as we wait for his coming back. Jesus is always moving onward and upward. He isn't a passing fad. He didn't have just 15 minutes of fame. No, he is forever. Look around and see what he's doing near you, and then join him. One day, he will come again. That's a promise. When Jesus was translated into heaven after the resurrection, and they said, why are you looking for the one who is going up to heaven? Because he is going to be returning the same way. Wait, he's coming back soon. Now, we don't know when. Not date setters, but Jesus promised he's coming back, and I believe it, and I'm looking forward to him coming back. And it says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, I saw heaven standing open, and before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. That's our friend coming back for us. I want to be prepared, and I hope and pray that you're prepared. I think that's our responsibility to the church, is to help fellow Christ followers to be prepared, not only for his coming, but be prepared if we do happen to leave this life prematurely before he returns, that we know where we're going, that hope to encourage one another. So arrange your days, and you put yourself into different relationships, and your relationship with God keep growing stronger and stronger. You want to increase, to learn, to recognize, as we talked about in this series about the Holy Spirit. Learn to hear God's voice, because he does talk to us, and we talk to him. Learn to hear his voice, and then have value in his word and with his people. Now, we won't always agree on things, and because we're all at different stages of life, growing in grace. But we can agree to disagree and have good dialogue and the different things, but still love, because the outcome is that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not die but have everlasting life. God is doing things that will strengthen your faith and dispel any discouragement that you might have. And then one day we'll stand with the people of heaven and sing together with the angels and the saints of all ages. Revelation chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. So, until then, let us keep on carrying the mission, the great commissions at the end of Matthew's gospel. We're called to do that. Go into all of the world, baptizing and teaching in the name of Jesus.